teaching those young men and young ladies how to be a part of the activities going on at the church. But anyway, this morning we're gonna be talking about a passage. You know, I really, when I got to it in Genesis chapter 40, you know, it took a few days to really, I guess, for God to show me that this is the message from what's going on in these two chapters, 40 and 41. So we're going to talk about those in just a minute. But before then, will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we just want to ask that you would just guide our hearts and our minds this morning to help our thoughts to understand what you want us to know from this, that you will help us to learn from your scripture some of the things that you know that maybe have happened in our lives, but definitely have happened in the scriptures, that we can just see how these things are supposed to work in the lives of your people. So I just ask, Lord, for your grace. I ask, Lord, for the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that I may speak your words and rightly divide your truths. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So in Genesis chapter 40, we get to this portion where, you know, Joseph, he's been lied about, and he is thrown into what the scripture calls here the ward, the house of prisoners. And you know who's in charge of that area? It says the captain of the guard. You know who Joseph was actually a slave owner to? The captain of the guard. So Potiphar takes Joseph and puts him, still under his supervision, but in the prison house. And Joseph is there. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And while he's there, the one who's in charge, Potiphar, probably the captain of the guard, he tells Joseph to make sure that you are watching over all the prisoners. And Joseph doesn't get to leave. He has to stay there all the time. But God is with him, and he's in charge of all the prisoners. Well, it's not too long into this, this affair, that Pharaoh has two officers, a baker and a butler. The butler is the cupbearer for the king. He makes sure that the king's food is good, and the baker is supposed to make sure he cooks good food. And those two guys offended Pharaoh. I don't know if the baker had a bad day and the butler didn't make sure he cooked good food or what happened. They find themselves in prison with Joseph. And they've been there for a little bit. And then one day, Joseph comes by and he sees that, you know, that they're not feeling very good. They're upset. They're sad about something. And Joseph says, "Well, what's making you guys so upset today?" And they said, "We both have dreams." And Joseph tells the butler and the baker, he's like, "Well, God is the interpreter of dreams. Tell me what you dreamed." So the butler, he begins and he says, I had this dream, and there was this vine that came out and it had these grapes on it, and I took the grapes from these three vines and I squished them into the king's cup, and then the king received the cup from me." And Joseph says, "Well, here's the interpretation of your dream. The three vines are 3 days. In 3 days, your head's going to be lifted up, and you're going to be brought out of this, and you're going to be returned to your position." The baker, he's like, "Oh, Joseph gives good interpretations." He's like, "All right, here's my dream." And he says, "I had three baskets on my head full of bread, and all of a sudden the birds came down and they ate the bread out of the baskets." And Joseph said, "Your dream is also the three baskets of 3 days, except in 3 days your head's going to be lifted up and you're going to be hanging on a tree and the birds are going to eat your flesh." So can you imagine the butler at that, or the baker at that, like, "Oh, that's not what I expected." But you know what happened 3 days later? The butler was returned to his job, and the baker was hanged on a tree, just like Joseph said. And Joseph asked the butler, he's like, "Whenever you go back, will you remember me?" However, the butler went back, and he didn't remember. The scripture says that he forgot Joseph. For 2 years, Joseph stays down in the house of the prisoners, just doing what, I guess, he had guard duty, whatever it is that the captain of the guard had him do. He had some freedom, but he could not escape. But then one night, 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. He has a couple dreams, actually. The first dream, he sees these cows come up out of the Nile River, and they're healthy and they're fat, and they're doing well. And then there's seven of them all together. And then out of the river behind them comes seven more cattle. But they're not looking so good. In fact, they look famished. They're so famished that they eat the fat cows. And they still look just as famished. And Pharaoh wakes up. And then he goes back to sleep. And then he has this other dream about corn, that the stalks of corn came up, and there's seven plump, juicy ears of corn. There's seven of them. And then after that, seven more came up that were lean. They had no corn. They were thin, no meat on them at all. And those ate the fat corn. Kind of weird dreams. The Pharaoh wakes up, but it bothers him. And he calls in all of his wise men, all of his royal helpers that they were going to help him interpret this dream. Like, what is it? And nobody knows. They can't figure it out. So the butler, he as this is going on, he remembers something 2 years prior. And he says, Pharaoh, king, I remember my faults this day. When you were upset at me and the baker, and you threw us into the ward, both of us had dreams. And there was this young guy, this Hebrew young man, and he was able to interpret our dreams. And what he interpreted happened just like he said. And Pharaoh's, he's like, all right, call this young man up. I want to hear what he has to say. Since you guys got no answers for me, I want to know what this guy's got. So they bring Joseph up, and they've got to clean him up, shave him, put on some clean clothes for him. And he goes before Joseph, or before the Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh says, I've heard that you can interpret dreams. And Joseph, he witnesses. Aren't you glad that he's a good witness? He believes in the Great Commission. And he says, Pharaoh, it's not in me. I can't tell you I can't of my own self give you the interpretation, but God can. And Pharaoh begins to tell him the dream. And he tells him about the seven fat cows and the seven lean ones eating the fat ones and the corn and the seven ears and then the lean ears eating the fat ears. And Joseph said, this is the interpretation. He said, the dreams are one dream. That you just had the same. It's just one dream telling you the same thing. He said the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears, they represent 7 years of good plenty. Lots of things, lots of harvest, and it's going to be good. But following those 7 good years are going to be 7 really, really bad years. So bad, in fact, that you're not even going to be able to tell that you had 7 good years. And he tells Pharaoh, you need to get somebody who can collect the grain and collect the harvest, a fifth of it, a fifth part of it, so that whenever the bad times come, that you will be able to supply for your people. And Pharaoh looks around at all of his officers, and he said, who can we appoint that's as wise as this guy? He's able to understand what none of us could understand. And he sets Joseph up as a second in the kingdom, gives him a bride, and says, all right, and a job. And that's a tough job. He's got to be able to maintain enough grain to supply Egypt. And he did. Not only Egypt, but the rest of the nations around. And you got to wonder, man, God went through a whole lot to get this guy to this point. Hated by his brothers when he's just a teenager. Sold into slavery. Lied about by a woman, thrown in the prison, and now God is setting him up as a second in command. And Joseph, I know he's thinking back. I remember when I had a dream. And I told it to my family, and they didn't believe the dream. They hated me for the dream. And now I see God making the dream that he gave to me. What he's told to me is coming to pass just like he said. Now there's probably a lot of places that you can go with this. But I just want to talk about dreams here for a little bit, because there's a lot of misunderstanding with dreams and what they mean and how they apply to our life. And I just thought I'll just take these two chapters out of the scripture, because I don't want to miss important stuff. But we live in a culture that misinterprets a whole lot of things that they are associated with how the scripture is supposed to be applied in a person's life. So I just wanted to give you maybe go away from how I normally present Sunday morning to really just trying to teach you a doctrine from the scriptures about what do I do with these dreams, these reoccurring dreams that maybe God has given you or somebody that you know. Maybe you don't dream. I don't remember my dreams. And when I do remember them, I'm a little bit nervous about what they mean. But we're going to look at the scriptures just for a little bit. We do have some other examples in the Bible about those who have dreams. We know that there's been several kings, several Hebrew kings. They had dreams. Here we have Pharaoh had dreams. Nebuchadnezzar, he had dreams. It was interpreted by Daniel. And even Daniel had dreams. He had those visions. Joseph in the New Testament, he had a dream about Mary, because he's like, Mary is pregnant. I'm going to put her away privately. And in the dream, God says to Joseph, take Mary to be your wife. What the baby that she has is of the Holy Spirit. We see that the wise men were warned not to go talk to Herod in a dream. We see that Pilate's wife, she had a dream, and she told Pilate, don't have anything to do with this Jesus of Nazareth. And she has this dream to warn Pilate, don't be involved in that. Peter had a dream, the vision of the dream of all the animals descending in a sheet and God saying, go and eat, which we know that that's just the Great Commission right there. If you know what the Great Commission is, raise your hand. They told us, I saw a survey this week, this is for free, that 50% of church-going people don't know what the Great Commission is. This is what I just want you to know, that you can't say that today. Today we're going to up it to at least 51%. Well, whatever it is. It's go ye into all the world, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's your job. That's the Great Commission. So anyway, Peter receives that vision of what the Great Commission is all about. Paul has a dream about where he is supposed to go and do missionary work. So we see, and even in the even John, it looks like that he has dreams. So anyway, the New and the Old Testament, they teach that people do have dreams. What does the Bible say? I feel like it's important not to just think on this on my own, but to see what does the Bible actually say about dreams. Numbers 12 and verse 6 says it like this. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18 says this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That's also a quote from Joel chapter 2, 28 and verse 30 and verse 29. So we see that there is some scripture that tells us that God does talk to people through dreams. Now you have to understand, the interpretation is from God. You don't just get to make up whatever it means. It means something. The interpretations belong to God. That's what Joseph understood. And I think that's why he was able to really see what was going on in the dream and interpret it precisely correctly. Look what else the Scripture says. And that's Genesis 40 and verse 8, if you want to see that reference, that he says, do not interpretations belong to God? Now, what we see something. Why would God give people dreams like this? Well, for Pharaoh, what he was trying to do is he was trying to preserve a people. You don't know what people he was trying to preserve? It was the Hebrew people. It was Israel. God wanted to preserve Israel, Jacob, and his sons. Joseph was one of the sons. And God was, he says, I want to preserve my people. When the rest of the world is falling apart, I want my people to be able to be sustained. That doesn't mean that they're gonna get super rich. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that they're not going to have to go through it also. But it means that even through the worst of times, God wants to take care of His people. And He's working this process with Joseph. Moving him, and you think, man, God, there's got to be an easier way than making me go through all this. Sometimes there's not. Because He has to prepare Joseph too to be able to handle the responsibility that he's going to be given. You can think about Moses. Moses, born, you know, he grew up in Pharaoh's house, and he got to the age, he's like, I realize I am part of Israel. And he wondered, why can Israel not recognize that I'm in line to be Pharaoh? God's going to make me deliverer. He recognized it, but he didn't have the right heart. And Moses ended up 40 years in the desert as God humbles a man that was prideful. And when God begins to talk to Moses, what does he say about Moses? That he is a meek man. He realized where he really came from, who he really was. And God says, now I can work with that guy. I don't know if all that had to be done with Joseph, but I know that Joseph was being prepared. And you may be going through some things too. God is preparing you for something. You just have to be willing to accept what it is he's going through. You might, that doesn't mean you have to like it, but you have to accept. God, I know God loves me. I know He cares about me. And I know He cares about the people that I'm going to share the gospel with wherever it is that I go. If you can have that attitude, no, it doesn't matter what you go through, you'll be ready when the time comes and God says, all right, now it's time. Joseph, now you're going to be second in command. You're going to be interpreting Pharaoh's dream. He had no idea when he was a kid, when he was having his own dreams, that he would stand before one of the most powerful kingdoms of the world and interpret the dream and save nations from starvation. Millions of people were saved because Joseph listened to God. And he allowed God to conform him into the image of who he needed to be. Hey, today, God's trying to conform you into the image of His Christ. Be willing to. No matter what it is that He's putting you through, just say, Lord, I'm willing to be shaped by You. And if You give me a dream, I'm not going to be prideful about it. I'm going to accept whatever it is, Your interpretation of it. In Job 33, verse 14 through 17, it gives us a little bit more of an understanding about why these dreams come to the kings, to Joseph, perhaps even you. I don't know. Some people don't believe that dreams like that happen anymore. I'm not that person. I believe that He can give you dreams. I think that He has given people dreams. Why would He do that? Job 33, 14 through 17 would say it like this. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yea, man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision in the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, when He openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that He may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from the man. Do you understand what Job is saying there? He's saying that sometimes in your life, God's trying to talk to you, and you don't understand. And you're really praying hard. You're really digging into God's Word. And then you have a dream. And in the dream, God confirms to you, He helps you understand what He's trying to tell you. It could be about anything. I don't know what all He may do. You know, I remember I was trying to learn how to drive a stick shift. Y'all remember back in those days? Yeah, I used to. That, you know, when you shift, when you put a car in gear, that meant that you went through several gears to get to the speed that you wanted to go. And you had to mash a clutch and all kinds of different things. Kids don't even understand. The clutch? What? Yeah, you would have to push down one thing and then move a stick in one direction. I could not figure it out. You should have seen the bunny hops that I did with my dad's truck. How many times I killed it. I'm like, I'm going to wreck. And one night, I remember I had this dream, and I figured it out in my dream. I don't know why, but I woke up the next day, and I could drive that vehicle perfect because I figured it out in my dream. Now, I don't know if God gave me that dream or what, but I do know one thing. I don't have dreams, but I was trying to figure out, how do I drive this vehicle? You know, sometimes God hooks his children up and teaches them some things that they just can't get through normal life experiences. And He could do that in a dream. At least that's just something that happened to me one time. I don't know. Maybe y'all think I'm crazy. I'm just telling you, that's what happened. And what was going on? Job says like this. This is the modern version of what Job says. Sometimes you guys are just idiots and you just can't get it. But when you go to sleep, you actually quit talking and listen to the words that I'm saying, and you can figure things out. When you actually will open your ears up and close your mouth, quit thinking, oh, you've got all the answers, and listen to God just for a moment, and He can really open up some details to your life. That's what Job says. I guess Job might have had some dreams like that too. Was it prophecy? It wasn't prophecy. God was just trying to help out one of His children that was having a hard time doing something. It could be something else. I don't know all the details. I don't even consider myself an expert on this. It took me several days to put all this stuff together. I'm not an expert on dreams and what they mean and how to interpret it. That's not me. I'm just giving you what the Scripture says about these dreams. It says, dreams are not what we are to rely on to guide our lives. Do you understand that? You may have a dream. Don't look to that dream as, that is what I'm driving my life by. You know, if Joseph had done that, how discouraged would he have been? He's like, how is the sun and the moon and the 11th stars going to bow down to me when I am a slave in Egypt? And he always, that's what's driving him. He wouldn't have got anywhere. What was he supposed to do? It's not put his attention on the dream. Put his attention on God. That's what he needed to do. And I think Joseph learned how to do that. Dreams are just aids from God to see when we're struggling to understand certain things. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 7 would even say this, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. Do you see that in Ecclesiastes? That you can have a multitude of dreams and lots of words about them, but they're vanity. What does the preacher say in Ecclesiastes? Fear thou God. Don't get hung up on not understanding things in your life. Not understanding your dreams. I'm thankful that Joy doesn't get all wrapped up in her dreams, because she wakes up mad at me from her dreams all the time. And I don't understand why. I'm like, I didn't do those things. But you did in my dream. I'm picking on her a little bit today. Y'all never do that to y'all's spouses, right? you don't have dreams about them, and they were bad in your dreams, so you wake up mad at them. I like that. I'm glad you're not a prophet. There's vanity if that's what you're going to... You know, if Joy was going to live her life according to those dreams, she would have got rid of me a long time ago. You know, you just can't say that's what I'm going to live my life by. Those must be accurate. It may not be accurate. It could be something else that's messing with you at that time. It's possible, the Scripture tells us, that deceptive dreams and deceptive dreamers can happen, can occur, those that are not sent by God. Jeremiah 29:8, Israel had this problem. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in your midst deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams that which ye cause to be dreamed. See, they had these false dreamers, these false prophets that had come up, and Israel was listening to those guys. You know what they were telling them? They were telling them things that go contrary to God's word. And Jeremiah says, don't be misled like that. Don't listen to them. The Scripture says sometimes that happens. Peter tells us that this is what we're supposed to do. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Do you know what that more sure word of prophecy is? It's your Bible. Your Bible is a more sure word of prophecy. That comes from the guy, Peter. Do you remember Peter? He was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus change from this bodily form that normally was seen into His heavenly form. He saw that with his own eyes. And Peter is just overwhelmed by this experience. Okay? That was his experience. And he's like, Jesus, we need... And he saw some dead guys too. He saw Moses and Elijah with Jesus talking to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter doesn't know what to do with this. He doesn't know how to compute it. He's like, we need to build 3 tabernacles. One to Jesus, one to Moses and Elijah. By the way, that never happened. Peter finally came to his right mind and he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy that you don't just rely on some experience or some dream or vision that you had to guide your life. If that dream or the vision doesn't line up with God's Scripture, it's false. And we in our nation, even in a lot of our churches today, that we have some people that they're having false dreams, false ideas, false visions. Are they having some? I think they are. The Scripture says that the devil can do those things too. He can mess with your mind. That's what he does a lot of times through TV and radio, that he's trying to get into the subconscious, your spirit, and he wants that spirit to open itself up, to listen to him talk to it. You see, through the dreams, God could talk to you. Satan can talk to you too. But it's going to depend on what are you actually putting your attention into, because that's going to drive some of those thoughts that you thought, like the writer of Ecclesiastes talked about. Jeremiah says, like, or 2 Peter, when we're looking at this not a sure word of prophecy, what we're also going to see is presented in 2 Peter 1 and 20, that it's not of a private interpretation. You see, when you're the only one that's thinking like that, you got to wonder, am I on the right track? But when other people are starting to see that too, it may be that God's talking to some others and leading you down, especially when those things that God is guiding your thoughts and your mind to line up with the Scripture. Because how do we interpret what's going on in our world today? How do we interpret prophecy? Well, we line it up. Does what is happening in the world line up with what's happening in the Scripture? That's how you can interpret prophecy better. That's how you can understand God's Word better. What does it really look like? if you want to know what's going on with why are bad things happening to good people, the Bible has the answers. You can go to 100,000 psychologists and they'll all give you a different answer about it and probably give it a different diagnosis. And the Scripture tells us what happens when people start turning their hearts away from God is that He allows them to be taken over by their own wicked imaginations. And what does they do? People with wicked imaginations do wicked things because they have turned away from God and His commandments. Jeremiah 33:3, he tells us, this is what you need to do. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you really desire to know what God is saying? Do you really desire what God is talking about in these last days? Do you really know what God is talking about when He says, this is the plan that I have for your life? Have you ever actually asked God, would you show me? Would you show me? Have you ever done that? Is that how you pray? Do you pray like this? God, would you make me better than what I really am? Would you make me wiser beyond my years? Have you ever prayed like that? I've prayed like that because I want to know what God has for me and what He has for my family and the direction that He wants me to go. And that's not a prayer that I have that I've got the patent on. It's something that God has given to you freely. And He says, call unto me. What does He say? I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Have you asked God? Would you show me? A lot of people won't even do that. They I don't know if they're afraid. Maybe they don't know that that's a promise. They think maybe I'm not worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it so much that God sent His only begotten Son to die for your sins. He's gone to prepare a place for you. You're worth it. You're more valuable than you know. Yet, we limit our prayers. We limit what we know about the plan that God has for us. Dreams from God will always align with Scripture. They're not going to give you additional revelation, but they will help you understand what God has already prescribed. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's the way that God is going to work. If it does not, Deuteronomy 13:3 tells you what to do with that. He says, when false dreamers come into the world, this is why it's going on. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet that is trying to give you extra revelation. Do you know? Just to give you an illustration, when Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion, comes on the scene, he offers this Book of Mormon. And this is what he says: this is another testament. This is another revelation. Now, if you've ever taken the Book of Mormon and read it, it does not align with the rest of Scripture. It breaks every commandment, by the way, in the first three chapters of the Book of Mormon. So what does it do? It's a false dream. A false prophet who's come on the scene and has given additional revelation. There's been a ton of guys just like that. What do you do with those things? Why do they come on the scene? God is testing you. Look what He says. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. God's testing you. He's testing His people. Are you really a part of who I am? To know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul. See, when those false guys come on the scene, God is testing His people to see who you really love. Do you love me and my word? Or do you love something else? Is there something else that you're infatuated with? Something else that you want? If you really love him, in John chapter 16, 13 through 14, God says like this, I've given you a gift. I've given you the Spirit of truth. He will guide you in all truth. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He shall glorify me. Listen, if you have any kind of dream and it does not glorify God, but it glorifies something else or you, you got to wonder, where is this dream coming from? Is it really glorifying God? Is it really something that the Holy Spirit has put inside of me? For he shall receive of mine, and I will show it to you. Deuteronomy 13:4 says this, If ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Do you understand what that verse is saying? I don't know if you've had dreams. Maybe you have had dreams. Dreams aren't bad. But they can mess with your mind. They can mess with your thought. And if you're looking for something to guide your life, if you're looking for instructions, if you're looking for a pattern that you can follow to make sense out of what is going on in this world, this is where you should start. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God. First off, make God your Lord. The Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Make him your Lord. What does it mean to make him your Lord? That means that he's the one who's in charge of your life. Joseph was sold into slavery. You know what he had to do as a slave in Egypt? Whatever his slave owner told him to do. Where did he have to go whenever he was accused of the crime? Where the slave owner sent him. That's where he had to go. He had no control. He had no rights. He had no ability to even preserve his own self. He was strictly, his whole life was in the hands of someone else. That's what it means when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. You're saying, I am giving you everything about myself. And because of that type of thinking, most Americans can say, I can't do that. I'm my own person. I need to be in charge. I'm free. Listen, the Scripture says that if you're going to be free, it's because the truth has made you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man is going to come into the Father except through Jesus Christ. You need to make him your Lord. If you really want true freedom, it's because you work for your Lord, Jesus Christ. But whenever you're like, no, I'm whole, this is mine, you have made yourself Lord of your own life. You will not see heaven because there's only one way to get there, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he know you today? If you're going to walk after him, fear him. Fear him. What does that mean? That you know that he holds in his hand your breath. He is in charge of your life and the things going on in it. Keep his commandments. You know, you see this? It doesn't say start with keeping his commandments. It says start with walking after the Lord your God. When you're walking after the Lord your God, the commandments are not a problem. A lot of people, they're like, man, but you guys just talk about so many rules. Listen, if you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you don't have a problem with the laws. They're written on your heart. That's how you think. The Scripture says that you take on the mind of Christ. He doesn't have to say, all right, here's the Ten Commandments. He doesn't have to do that to you. They're inside you. That's the pattern of life that you live by. You're like, oh, I don't know the Ten Commandments. But if you start writing down your morals, you'll write down the Ten Commandments because you're like, that's what I believe. Because you've made him Lord of your life. You obey his voice. That means that whatever he says, you'll do. Wherever he says to go, I'll go. If it means to be a slave, I'll be a slave. If it means to be a prisoner, that means I'll be a prisoner. If it means that I'm going to be second to Pharaoh, the king, I'll be second to Pharaoh, the king. Whatever God wants me to do, I will obey. And ye shall serve Him. You know what it means to serve Him? That means you have faith that He's not holding you back. He's not doing you wrong. He cares about you. And you have total confidence that God is in control and He has got this. You serve Him. And then it says, and you cleave to Him. You know, I was thinking about that word this morning. Y'all remember when I gave you that illustration of cleaving? How I was trying to fix my wheelbarrow tire one time? And I put that expanding foam in it. And I started out wearing gloves and I took the gloves off and somehow got that stuff on me. It cleaved to me. You try getting it off. It doesn't come off. I tried all kinds of stuff. Soap. Soap made it worse. It just made my whole hand just sticky. It cleaved to me. I tried gasoline. Nothing worked. There was only one way for it to come off. And that was for me to shed my skin. Because it cleaved to me. Cleave unto Him. Just like that. You know, God doesn't want you to come off. He wants you sticking to Him. He wants you there right beside Him. It doesn't matter. You are not, that stuff was annoying to me, but you're not annoying to God because He loves you. He wants you there with Him. Does He want to show you some great and mighty things? He does. Is He going to give you a bunch of dreams? Probably not. Very few people does that really happen to. But He might. He might show you some things. What do you do with that? Whatever it is that you do with it needs to line up with the Scripture. If you're looking for something to drive your life, this verse right here, this should be what drives your life. As the song leader and the pianist come, would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for being so good to Your people. I want to thank You for the messages that you have sent to Your prophets of the past. I want to thank You for the instructions that You have given to us in Your Word. And I just ask, Lord, that You will show us great and mighty things. Help us to be led by Your Spirit. Lord, if there's anybody here who has not called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, that they will recognize their need of a Savior today, that they'll recognize that they have lived in sin and that they have disobeyed Your commands. Lord, draw them to Yourself so that they may know today that they have a God who loves them and cares about them and has their best interest at heart. God is the Word in these things. Help us to understand Your Word and to apply it to our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.